These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ne'er Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Let's begin at the beginning. Vayihiyu chayei Sorah, meyo shono v'yetrim shono v'sheva shonim, shenei chayei Sorah. The question which is asked by many of the Meforshim, and which we have looked at in one form or another over past years, is the fact that even though the Torah has listed the years of Sorah as 127, nevertheless the Torah insists on mentioning at the end of the Pasuk, Shenei Chayei Sorah. So therefore the question is why the Torah would need to mention what appears to be a superfluous phrase. And we begin by having a look at the Netziv in the HaMikdavar, and we will find a most beautiful thesis. Says the Netziv, Miyusar, it appears to be a superfluous phrase, the Yain Kain V'chol Mokum Zehaloshem, and we do not find this particular phrase used in other places where we are mentioning the years of an individual's life. So we have to understand what is being conveyed by the phrase Shnei Chayei Sorah. Says the Netziv, V'hine kvar pirashnu kama pa'omim. We have explained on many occasions that Perush Chayim, the interpretation of the word Chayim, is B'loshan HaKodesh B'shtei Mashmos. It can have one of two meanings. Either Achas Chayim V'lo Moves, life as opposed to death, meaning the individual is alive. Bays, a second interpretation is Someach V'oleis V'lo Yisavon, happy as opposed to depressed. In the same way, I suppose, as we mention in English, someone is alive, or we mention that somebody is lively. There is an essence of vitality. This is the theme that the Netziv sees in the word Chayim, either of these two interpretations. And he brings a number of examples in Chazal, which confirm that they also see the word Chayim on occasion as indicating not just not dead, but filled with joy, etc. For instance, in the Pasuk Shenos Chayim V'Sholom, how is Chayim defined? So Chazal say, Shonim HaMishapchos Mira LeTova. They are years which have been transformed from evil to good. Or the word V'Yartzos HaChayim, etc., etc. So now that we know that the word Chayim can mean either of these two meanings, V'Yachar Kol Zeh, after this introduction, Yesh Li Hisbonein, we are required to consider the following. Bamesh Yomru, Chazal have told us, Sh'Abraham Hoya Tofel Lesara B'Nevius. Most people think that that's what Chazal say, although we'll find out, according to the Netziv, that it's not accurate. But people say that Chazal inform us that Abraham was inferior to Sarah in Nevius, in prophecy. The Yenze Elotema. That is something which is most difficult to accept. Ha'odom ha'godol asher dibira imo Hashem kamo p'yomim yihyetofe lesora shelo dibira imo Hashem kiim dibur echod lo kitzachot. How can you suggest that Avraham Avinu, with whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated on numerous occasions, that he should be inferior to Sora, to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke on one occasion? And even in lo kitzachot, there is a shaila as to whether it was actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so or the Malach. So how can Chazal say that Sarah was inferior to Abraham was inferior to Sarah in Nevius? Elo hakavonahu, but what Chazal meant was shehoya tofel beruach hakodesh. Abraham Avinu was inferior to Sarah in ruach hakodesh. Let us understand. Shaharei shenei devarim heim. There are two inyonim here. There is Ruach HaKodesh, that is Masha Adam Misbodeid, which is achieved by an individual separating himself. Umashra Alav Ruach HaKodesh, and causing Ruach HaKodesh thereby to descend on him. V'yodea Masha Ro'eh, and he understands what it is that he perceives. Omnom, but in Ruach HaKodesh, lo diberi mo Hashem. Hashem does not speak to him. That's one inyan, Ruach HaKodesh. Unevuah, but in regards to Nevuah, hu bechina gedola v'rabo mizeh kemoshe b'yanu. That is a higher element altogether. And we know, for instance, David HaMelech, olav HaShalom, zocha lishneihem. David HaMelech was zocha to both. When he said, Ruach Hashem diber bi, the Spirit of Hashem spoke in me, and then went on to say, Umiloso al lishoni, and his word is on my tongue. So Ruach Hashem was a reference to Ruach HaKodesh HaMofi al Dover Atzmo. And when he went on to say, Vegam miloso al lishoni, that is in regards to Nevuah, which is an actual message which is communicated from HaKodesh Baruch Hu to the Navi. Now, the Avraham, there is absolutely no question, Hoya Godel v'Nevuah mi Sarah. He was greater than Sarah in Nevuah. Aval v'Ruach HaKodesh, Hoya Sarah mitzuyenes Yesem Avraham Avinu. But in Ruach HaKodesh, Sarah was superior to Avraham Avinu. Why is that so? V'hasibo lo zehu mishnei ta'amim. The reason is the following two. Number one, Sha'avraham bitzidko, because Avraham in his righteousness, hayomanik ho'olam, he was a person who was involved with the world, u'madrichem li'avodas Hashem, guiding them towards the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, as we find in this parsha, the B'nai Chay say to him, Nesi Elokim atob esocheinu. So therefore, since Ruach HaKodesh depends on hispodedus, on seclusion, it is impossible for Avraham Avinu to be the equal of Sarah in Ruach HaKodesh, because by virtue of his involvement in the affairs of people, and by Yikrov Hashem Hashem, as we find on so many occasions, it is impossible for him to be misbodate. And this is a necessary prerequisite for Ruach HaKodesh. Masha Ein Kein, Sarah Hoyasa Yosheves B'Yahala, the Kedusha V'Tahara. Kol kevuda bas melech penima, aye soro ishtecha, hine va'ohem. So therefore, if you want to know why it is that Sarah was the superior to Avraham Avinu in Ruach HaKodesh, one reason is because she had the opportunity for his brodidus, which was not presented to Avraham Avinu. Shenis, and this is where he comes to his point, de'ein Ruach HaKodesh chal elamiteich simcha shel mitzvah. Ruach HaKodesh, another necessary prerequisite, is that the individual be the simcha, totally in joy. V'sorah zeh tzidekoso lahafli. And this was the special midah of Sarah. Shehoyasa b'yemunasa v'bitochon chozok mi'od na'ala. She had an emunah which was something extraordinary. Kamosha Mavur Baraba, as indeed it is stated quite clearly in the Medrash, when Sarah says to Avraham Avinu concerning what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised, she said to Avraham Avinu, Atobe Haftocha, you believe that it's going to take place because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised you. Vani, but I, the Emuna, I don't believe only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has actually promised. I believe because I have continual faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of my faith, a Havtocha makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. And indeed, Umishabo Mikoach Havtocha, and a person who believes only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised, then we know that that is a type of confidence which can easily be shaken, because as Chazal tell us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises someone something, it is always possible that the promise may not be fulfilled. In the words of Chazal in Gemara Baruch, Shema Yigrum Achet. Because if the person sins after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised, the promise will not be fulfilled. But a person who has total emunah, the Haftacha makes no difference, because the person is confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do whatever it needs to be done. Ma she'ein kein sora shehoyaso chazoko b'yemunaso v'lishum haftocha al kein lo nis'atzva b'chol yemei chayim v'hoyaso shokua v'ruach HaKodesh. That is why, says the Netziv, she was besimcha all the days of her life, because Chazal have pointed to the remarkable aspect of emunah, which characterized all her years, And therefore, since she had this total emuna, her life was totally besimcha. That is what the pasuk means when it says, not only that she lived for 127 years, but they were shenei chayei. They were years of simcha. As he has mentioned in his opening comment, that the word chayim can mean joy as opposed to depression or sadness. And that is why the shonim shalom kulam hayu bechaye simcha v'nevesh hamala v'niskov bechaye luchoni. So for the Netziv, the shenei chaye shalom points to the very special characteristic of Soleimenu's life, namely that it was always v'simcha, and it was a continual period of joy and emuno in HaKadosh Baruch. So we leave the Netziv over there for the moment. The opening section of the Parsha, as you know, deals with the purchase of Me'orat HaMachpelah. I just want to draw one point to your attention, and some of you might find it of contemporary significance. Students of the Talmud will know and recognize that the purchase of the Me'orat HaMachpelah provides the source from which we learn that a man betroths his wife with money. The Gemara asks, Kesef min olon, which is always a good question, where's the money? Kesef min olon, and the Gemara answers, Kicha kicha misadei Ephraim. That we learn by comparing the word ki ikach ish isha, if a man shall take a wife, not indicating how it's to be taken, but in then comparing the word ki ikach with Nosati kesef hasodeh kach mimeni, and there it mentions kesef. So in the same way as there it mentions money, and the verb used is kach, so also ki ikach ish isha, the way you, one of the ways in which a woman is betrothed to a man is with Reb Moshe Avigdor Amiel Zatzal has a thought here which I thought was quite extraordinary. He says, Ein Gezeira Shova Lemechta. It means when you learn a Gezeira Shova comparing two words, that the traffic moves both ways. You learn how to betroth the wife from Ephron, but seemingly, to complete the cycle, you've got a lot to learn from getting married, which can relate to how you purchase land from Ephraim, by which I mean the following. He puts it in a more serious way. When you give a ring to your wife, you have to believe me when I tell you it's not the last thing she ever gets. It's very important. There is a rumor I heard once that a gentleman, his wife's credit card was stolen and he hasn't reported it in 20 years because the Ganef isn't using it as much as his wife was. That's made the money. So, in other words, the ring is not a final payment, it's a first installment. And the rumor has it that the payments increase in quantity as time goes on. Says Reb Moshe Avigdor Amiel, when you buy land in Eretz Yisrael from the Ephrons of this world, they want a price. And you think when you've paid the price, that's the one-off. It's the one and final installment. The truth of the matter is, unfortunately, it's the first installment. No matter what you give them, they always want more and more and more. The price is never sealed and delivered. It's the chaner of the yoyim is us. In the same way, I put it in a humorous way. When a person marries, he has duties from the Torah. She'era, kesusa, v'yonosala yigra. He's got duties to provide her with clothes, to provide her with food, to provide her whatever it is. So in other words, the kesef kiddushin is only the first installment. On the contrary, it's the first of many obligations. It's not the conclusion. He says, that is the way it is by Ephron. When you purchase land in Eretz Yisrael, there is a price that they call on you to pay, and you think that once you've paid the price that that's all it is, the answer is, unfortunately, that it is not so. And I think it's something well worth thinking about. A man was writing in the 1930s. Okay. What I'd like to do now is to move on to the central theme of our Parsha, which is, of course, finding a wife for Yitzchak. Now, I want you to turn, please, to the Posuk, Perek Kof Dalet, Posuk Ches. A lot of fascinating material to look at. Says the Posuk. The Imlo so there ho isha lo leches acharecho. If the woman will not want to come back with you, then ikisa mishavua sizos, then you are relieved of this oath. Have a look at Rashi here. Then ikisa mishavua sizos. You are absolved from this oath that I have made you take. And as a result of the fact that you will then be released from the oath, is the kach lo isha, and I will allow you to take a wife for him, mibenos oner eshkol umamre, from the daughters of oner eshkol umamre. Where did these three venerable gentlemen creep in? You be absolved from my oath, and because you're absolved from my oath, therefore you will be permitted to take a wife for Yitzchak, mibenos oner eshkol umamre. As the rabbis would say in the typical Lashon of Chazal, Man de Karshame. Who's mentioned their names? Where did they come in? There is a Gur Aryeh on this which is absolutely fascinating and which will give us an insight into exactly what it is that Avraham Avinu was contracting with Eliezer. As I say, the beauty of these Meforashim is that they show us how little we really know of the basic inyanim of the Parsha. Says the Gur Aryeh as follows. When have Avraham Avinu said to Eliezer, I don't want you to take a wife for my son Mibenos HaKenani. Now that's not what he said to him in its entirety. What he said was as follows. Lo shikachi sholivni, I do not want you to take a wife for my son, mibenos ha-Kanani, from the daughters of Canaan, asher anochi yoshev bikirbo. What's this asher anochi yoshev bikirbo business? You've said, asher lo shikachi sholivni, mibenos ha-Kanani. Thank you very much. No. Mibenos ha-Kanani, asher anochi yoshev bikirbo. Says the Gur Aryeh. The truth of the matter is, says the Gur Aryeh in his first interpretation, Avraham Avinu never had a Havamina, never had an assumption of any kind that Eliezer was going to be permitted to take a wife for Yitzchak Mibenais Hakanani. Hakanani is Oror. Ein Oror Misdavik Baboruch. There's no one who is cursed who can become a wife for my son. Now what is the Havamina? The Havamina is that I want you to know that lo sikachi sholi v'ni mibeno sakanani asher anechi yoshev v'kirbo. There are certain individuals amongst the Canaanites, amongst whom I live, that's the superfluous words asher anechi yoshev v'kirbo, referring of course to honor Eshkulum Amre. So these are people that I want you to know I will not allow you to take a wife from them for Yitzchak, because ki el archivi el moladati teleich, because I want you to go there to take a wife. But if they don't want to let one of their number come to be a wife for Yitzchak, then the oath that I made you take, that is suspended, is cancelled. And since the oath only referred to Oner Eshkol Umamre, therefore when the oath is suspended, you are thereby allowed to take a wife for him from those. Let's have a look inside. Yachar Shehashavu Ahoyesa Oleho. Since the original oath, says the Maharal, was only on the Benos Oner Eshkol Umamre, how do I know? Because the Pasuk says, Lo sikach isha, mi Benos HaKenani, asher anochi yoshev v'kirbo. Stuch v'noi hayo tzarech lomar v'kirbo. The Pasuk didn't need to mention the word v'kirbo. Ella, obviously, Avraham Avinu was telling Eliezer that I do not want you to take a wife for my son Yitzchak, not Stam Mibenos HaKenani, but rather Oder Eshkolu Mamre Asher Hoyo Avraham Yoshev Vikirbo. Is the Gamalehem Hishbiyo Shelo Yikachi Sholivano Apal Gav Shehem Kesherim. That is why with them there was a Havamina, as the Maharal will explain in a moment or two, that other Eshkelu Mamre, who are not Bichlal Orur, even though they are Canaanim, because they are Baalei Bris Avraham, they are part of an alliance with Avraham, and therefore they mean Avraham well. And is it not say at the beginning of Lech Lecha V'Avorachom Avorachecha, those who want to do you well, I will bless? So other Eshkelu Mamre are not Orur, they are Baruch, because they are part of an alliance, they want to do Avraham Avinu well. So therefore, the actual Hava Mine was only that you might have thought that you can take from the daughters of other Eshkelu Mamre. I'm saying to you, no, you can't, because first you've got to go Kiel Archivia Molaradi Telech. So that is why the Maharal goes on to say, there was no need to say the word Bekirbo if it was referring to a general prohibition against daughters of Canaan. Is the Kol Canaan b'mashma? Because if it would have, if it was meant to be a prohibition against taking from the daughters of Canaan, then it should have said Sami b'leisa Canaani. Then it would have included all b'nos Canaan. Ela lomar. But the reason why it says Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirbo, again says the Maharal, is to emphasize that the prohibition is only on the daughters of Oner Eshkolu Mamre until you do not have a possibility of bringing back a girl from Arziu Molarity. But in regards to all of the Benos Kenoan, there was never a Hava Minah that they should be permitted for my son. Elalomar, and that is why the words Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirbo are put in, to indicate to you, she'aleihem, that in reference to them, the words v'nikisa mishavuah sizos, sh'tahainu, what was the shavuah? L'chadchila shelo likach isha mibenos oner. But if the girl does not want to come back from Arziu Moladati, then I permit you v'kach isha min oner eshkulu mamre. So the first interpretation of the shavuah, which Avraham Avinu made Eliezer take, is that the Shavuah was actually made not in regards to Benos Kenani in general, because there was never a Hava Minah that they should be permitted to Yitzchok, for the reasons which we have explained, in Oro Mistavik Beboruch. The only Shavuah which Eliezer entered into with Avraham Avinu was that I do not allow you to take me benos haknani asher anoichi yoshev v'kirbo. I don't allow you to take me benos oner eshkelu mamre until such time as el arzi v'el molarati telech v'im lo sovehu ishol aleches acharecha. And then if after you've gone there they will not permit you to bring the girl back, then this shavua is cancelled, and therefore the benos oner eshkelu mamre are permitted to him. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, which doesn't alter the theme, is that in fact the words v'nikisa mishavuasi zos. Now, why would Avraham Avinu say, "I will absolve you mishavuasi zos"? This oath. How many oaths are there? Well, that's the answer, says the Maharal. If the Torah says v'nikisa mishavuah sizos, the implication is that Eliezer entered into more than one oath with Avraham Avinu. Mashma shavuah acharona. It would appear, therefore, that there are two oaths which Avraham Avinu made Eliezer entered into. One of them was, under no circumstances are you to take a daughter from Canaan. And number two, there is a second oath that you are not allowed to take me benos oner eshkolu mamre, but that is an oath of a different quality, because if indeed you go el arzi v'el molarati and you do not have the possibility of bringing a girl back from there, then I say to you, v'nikisa mishavuasi zos, you are absolved from oath number two, namely against taking a daughter from oner eshkolu mamre, but you are not absolved from the first oath, which is under no circumstances from the other benos hakanani. Mashma shvua acharona shehishpiyo gamal benos oner eshkulu mamre. And that is why the pasuk says asher anochi yoshev bekirbo. And in regards to that latter oath, it says v'nikisa mishavuah sizot.
I will absolve you if she doesn't want to come back, and then you will be permitted to take a girl, me benoth honor, eshkol umamri. Aval, but the first oath, shelo yikach isha mishabenos kanan, kidakoi koi. That is an oath which remained irrespective of what happened. So the first thing we know now is from where Rashi got this particular idea, that if he, Eliezer, is not able to bring back a wife from El Arsivi El Maladati, then there will be a cancelling of the oath which prohibits taking a daughter from Oner Eshkol Umamre, and that is all that was ever entertained. Mibanos Canaan was never entertained as a general possibility that if the girl does not want to come back from Arsivi El Moladati, that in fact there would be a possibility of taking a girl from any of the Benos Canaani. That was never entered into. But now the Maharal Kedarko Bakodesh, he goes further. So what do we see here so far? It would appear that there's two possibilities. Either the girl will come back via the Arsivi El Moladati, she will come back from there. She will be one who agrees to come back, and she won't, if she won't be happy with that prospect. Possibility number two is Mibanos Oner Eshkol Umamre. I mean, that's what it looks like. And yet, says the Maharal, when we look later on into the chapter, you'll see there, when Rashi explaining Pasuk Memtes, where Eliezer says to the family, please let me know that you are permitting me to take Rivka back. If you are not permitting me to take Rivka back, then the Efneh al Yamin o al Shemal. If you don't permit me to take her, I'll go to the right or go to the left. Now where is that going to lead him? Right or left? Says Rashi, Lokeach mi benos lot o Yishmoel. And if you don't give me Rivka, I'll go on to Lot. Have a look and see what's doing there. I'll go on to Yishmael, see what's doing there, and maybe they'll have a girl who'll be willing to come back. Where did they creep in? I mean, seemingly the possibility is only Ki El Arsivi El Moladati Teleich, and if they're not happy to send one from that particular combination, then we're back to square one, Benos Oner Eshkol Umamre. Says the Maharal, no, you see, you didn't learn properly as well. V'nira lomar, it appears to me the following. Ki mipenei sheyomar lemala. What did Avraham Avinu say to Eliezer? Ki el atzivi el moladati teleich. That's the first thing I want you to do. I want you to go to my land and I want you to go to my family. In other words, what's the ideal? The ideal source for a wife for my son Yitzchak is the combination of Arsi and Moladati, my land and my family. Now, where do you get that combination? In Aram Naharayim. It's where I come from, and it's my family. But if you cannot get a girl who has the combination of Arsi and Moladati, then at least opt for Moladati. That's the vote. Because L-R-C-V-L, Moladati, the Vav can mean either and or or. I would like a combination of Arsi and Moladati. If I can't get a combination of Arsi and Moladati, I want a combination of Moladati. That's what the Maharal says. V'nira le'mar ki mipenesho amar le'mar she'yikach lo isha mi Moladato. Because after all, Avraham Avinu says ki el Arsi v'el Moladati teleich, and Yishmoel and Lot are Moladato. Yishmoel is Avraham's son. Lot is his nephew. They are Moladato. However, the truth of the matter is I want you to go first to Aram Naharaim, to the city of Nochor, because that can be, that's a combination of Arsi and Moladati. Avolim lo yitein lo, then if they will not give you a daughter from there, oz yifne al yamin o hal samol, then he goes to the right and to the left, because at least there is one, ho'ek echona, then it's Moladati, it's my family. Aye, so where do Oner Eshkol Umamre come in? Says the Maharal like this. What did Avraham Avinu say to Eliezer? Vim lo so veho isha lo leches acharecha. If when you get to these places, which are all outside Eretz Yisrael, the combination of Arsi and Moladati is certainly outside Eretz Yisrael. And if that won't work, then I want you to go to Moladity, which is also outside Eretz Yisrael. And then, if neither the combination of Atzi and Moladity, or Moladity on its own, doesn't work, then v'nikisa mishavuot deserves. Which is a combination of all possibilities of Atzi and Moladity, then v'lokachto ishomi benos honor eshtol u'am. So therefore, if you want to know how Eliezer was to set about looking for a wife for Yitzchak, it was as follows. There was a sort of a three-tier arrangement here. First of all, he was to look for a girl from Arzi and Moladati who had the combination of both, which can be found in Aram Naharaim and Ir Nochor. If you cannot find the girl with that combination of Arzi and Moladati, then at least opt for Moladati, which is Lot and Yishmael. Im lo soveh hoishol alecha zacharecha, then you come back because you are absolved from Mishavu Asizos, and since the only type of stipulation I made was that lechadchila you cannot take a wife mibenos honor eshkulu mamre, because the other possibility was never entertained, if no one will come back from you from all these distant places, then I will allow you to take a wife from Bibados on their Eshkulamam. Again, just to conclude, if indeed Canaan is not entertained as a general source for a wife for Yitzchak, because they are Oror, and Ein Oror Mistavish Baruch, and Oror cannot join together with Baruch, why then are on their Eshkulu Mamre allowed as a Bidiyevid even? Says the Maharal, because it says, V'avorecha mevorechecha v'shayach bohem bracha. Because since they bring bracha to Avraham Avinu by the fact that they have entered into an alliance with him, therefore they are also blessed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, V'avorecha mevorechecha, and since they are also blessed, therefore they are no longer bichlal oron. Okay. So now we're going looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak. And we come across something which I'm sure many people are not aware of, and it is something that is well worth mentioning. Pelek, he knows who Avraham Avinu is, he knows who Yitzchak is, the onus is unbearable. So what does he do? He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. I want a tzedekista, don't we all? I want a tzedekist, right? That's what I want, and I'll offer her a chveiz, and give me a drink, or she'll give me to drink, give my camels to drink. So he's given a sign. After all, you've got to have some way of knowing that she's a righteous woman. Now, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says like this, all of a sudden, here is Rivka coming out, the Kado al Shichmo, we've all seen the paintings, the Kado al Shichmo, fine, okay. Is Pasuk Yud Zion? Vayoros ho'eved likrosa. He runs to meet her, and obviously he's going to initiate this little test which she has invented. But why is he running to meet her? I mean to say, it's Vinkfisus Aderech anyway. I mean, you got time on your hand. So he says like this, Vayoros ho'eved likrosa. No, don't mind the humor. There's a point here which is extraordinary. Why did he run to meet her? Because he saw that she had gone down to draw water. This is the water started to rise up. I looked at this Rashi. I said to myself, so scrap the test. I mean, sometimes you want a good reason for a shidduch. This is an excellent reason for a shidduch. The vayota mayim the chayim lekrosa, the waters are coming up. Tachnisim, the chavunder rebbets in here. Why is the nace not enough? It's not enough. Because it goes on, and it goes through the ganze cheshvan. I'll let you into a secret. If you look at the very, very end of the chapter, in Posuk Samach Vav, when Eliezer is bringing Rivka back, is Vayisaper, however, Yitzchok Eiskol had the word of Asher Osa. And Eliezer said to him, have I got a story to tell you? Vayisaper, however, Yitzchok Eiskol had the word of Asher Osa, said Rashi, Gil Oloi Nisim Shanaasulu. He told him the Nisim that went on. Koftzaloi Horech. Echaisa, it took him a few minutes to get there, it should have taken days. So one would have imagined that Yitzchok is ecstatic. What are you talking? Nisim b'neflo is mekvises aderech. Goodness me. I mean, there are shiduchim and shiduchim. This seems to be it. Next pasuk. Vayivieho Yitzchok ho'ohelo soro imo. And Yitzchok brings her into the tent of his mother Sora. Vayikach es Rivka, and he took Rivka. Vatehilo liyisha, and she became his wife. Vayehaveh, and he loved her. Have a look at Targum. Targum Unculus. Ve'ale Yitzchok lemashkana, and Yitzchok brought her into the tent, ve'chaza, and he watched her, and he noticed ve'hotaknin ovadoha ku'uvdei sora ime, and he saw that she was a balas midas like his mother Sora, and then and only then una save Yosrifka, he married her for havas veli in two, and she became his wife. It is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on occasion does Nisim for Tzadikim. But not everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim for is a Tzadik. I'm not saying what he had in mind, I'm just telling you what he said. I repeat, it is known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim for Tzadikim. As the Gemara says, Tzadik goes over HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayeh. But you have to know that not everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim for is a Tzadik. That's not a criteria. And therefore, as Ken Zayin Vayolot, however, Likrosa, because he saw the waters running up to meet her, Sfranan Nisim Vinifloes, but it says nothing about the person whatsoever. It could very well be that Eliezer comes back home and he says to Yitzchok, have I got a story to tell you? You won't even believe. And Yitzchok says, listen here, friend, ain't that hotish and Satan? Let me find out who it is, what's it all about. Nisim, thank you very much indeed. We'll say hello some other time. But here we're talking about finding out who people are. Says Reb Chaim Evaloshin, the Gemara says in Gemara Shabbos, Gemara says there, Maise Ba'odom Echad. It happened with a certain man whose wife died and left him with two children to nurse, and he had nothing. And an ace happened, and he grew two breasts, and he nursed his children. Says the Gemara there, Omer Abaya, Kamo Gorua Odomze. This man is not a person we want to be proud of. Kamo Gorua Odomze. You would have thought Nisim Tchatzadik. Kamo Gorua Odomze. So you see from the Gemara, there is no correlation between miracles performed on behalf of a person and the qualities of the person for whom it is performed. That's something well worth thinking about. And there are many, many rayas which are brought, but we leave it here just at this particular juncture. Let us go back to where we were, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So he now puts her through the test. He's speaking to her, finds out who she is, and he starts putting on the bracelets and the various other items of jewelry which he is presenting to her. Now, let us move on to Pasuk Kaf Tes. Ule Rivka Och Ushamo Lavan. And Rivka has a brother, and his name is Lavan. Enter Lavan. Vayorot Lavan El Hoish Hachutza El Hoayin. And Lavan runs out. So we've seen the Pasuk many times before. Rivka Och Ushamo Lavan has a brother, his name is Lavan. It's not the last we're going to hear from him. Have a look at the Yorachayim HaKadosh. Ula Rivka Och Ushamo Lavan. Says the Yorachayim HaKadosh, I've got a cash on these words, Ushamo Lavan. Lidivrei Emzal Sheyomru. I have a problem because Chazal give us a clear principle. Ki Hatzadikim Shemam Kodem Lahem. Whenever we're dealing with a tzaddik, we will always put it in the following order. Ushamo Boaz. The word shame comes before his name.
or v'shem ha'ish Elimelech. But in regards to Rishoyim, their name is put before the word shame, as it says, Nabal Shemo, Abigail's husband.
Okay?
Im Kain, Lomo Lokach HaKotruv Seder HaTzadikim Belovon HaRosh. So why does the Torah say, Ushamo Lavan? That's a style you use for a tzaddik. Lavan is not a tzaddik. What could that sound for Lavan, Shamo? Ah, you'll say to me, another problem is, it says Vayorot, he ran. So what did Chazal say? You know why he ran? Because he saw the jewelry. So we got excited. That's not an answer. Because it's only in Pasuk Lamed that it says, Vayehi Kirosis Hanezim, Vayes Hatzmidim, Ayedeyachoso. It's only in the next Pasuk it makes the observation that Lavan has noticed this beautiful jewelry, implying that when he ran out first, he knew nothing at all about the jewelry. See, you can't say he's running because he wants to get his hands on the loot. So what's going on here? Again, why is he running? And why does it say, Ushamo Lavan? These people who've gone through the Sedris, the Psukim with a fine tooth comb, says the Yorachayim HaKodesh, Ochein HaKavonahi. The truth of the matter is, because this particular individual, Kizehoish Lavan, Chorad Likrasoish, he wants to get his hands on this man. But not for the reasons you think. Biyodo Masha Ova Beino Levein Ritzko Mehadevorim Umekiru Vadas, Behuish Nochri, Hareze Magid Kidevorim Begah. Wife is being his sister, all of a sudden, a gentleman, nobody's ever seen him before, starts chatting to his sister. What's going on here? This is the way you conduct yourself? A man appears out of nowhere, what's going on here? Lavan is very, very zealous on behalf of his sister. You just don't walk up, it's just not 1993, you don't walk up, and you don't start talking to people and say, hello, how are you? Wonderful, and you live here, and... The rot likroso lifgoa bo bekanoso eskinas achoso. He is running out because how dare a stranger come up and approach a young lady and start engaging in conversation. Lo yoyosa chen bimukomeno. And in regards to this particular act by Yoros, is Yichas Hashem Oso Yichusim Shel Tzadikim. It is in regards to this act that the Torah has identified him as it would a tzaddik, because in regards to this particular activity, what he was doing was noble. He was a person who was rising to the defense of his sister's honor, as he perceived. Then, when he runs out, Vayehi Kirot, when he hears exactly what has happened, then he gets a completely different picture. Memele, he no longer runs. Pasuk Lamed concludes, Vayovo El Hoish. He comes to him, because now he appreciates that he had totally misconstrued the situation. And therefore he now comes in a more mellow, a more gelassen, more relaxed attitude to Eliezer. So here you see the Yerachayim HaKodesh says, with all that Lavan has got his faults, and he has many, of which we will discover again and again. But in regard to this particular matter, he is designated as a tzaddik, because what he does is noble. Let me suggest a different answer to the Yerachayim HaKodesh's question, based on a comment which I saw in Shem Mishmuel. The Shem Mishmuel says that in reality, Lavan at this particular moment is not to be assessed as an out-and-out Rasha. Why? Not because of what he's doing, as the Orachaim suggests, but because there is holiness in that man. What do you mean, holiness in that man? He says, yes. The souls of Rachel and Leah, which have as yet not appeared independently. They're not born yet. Lavan has within him, he's the father of Rachel and Leah.
He is a combination at this particular moment of Tumah v'Tahara. He is a combination of his own darkness and the light, which is Rachel and Leah. That is why he is a person who is able to say, May Hashem Yotza Hadovor. This is a shidduch which comes only from heaven. And is able to come out with all the most beautiful pieties that you could possibly imagine. Says the Shemesh Muev. But when Yaakov meets him later on in Parshas Vayetzeh, he meets him after Rachel and Leah have been born. And there all that's left is the darkness that is Lavan himself. Ushemo Lavan, Omer Av Yitzchok Paradok. A man with a dark soul should have a name Lavan. That was when Yaakov meets him. Prior to that, in Parshas Chayei Sarah, he is a person who is a combination of Tumah v'Tahara, and therefore he cannot be identified as we would someone like Novel, the Novel Shem. Okay. Let me now draw to your attention a fascinating essay. I'd like to address myself to it because it is something very special. And that is the Pachad Yitzchak. We'll see how time goes, but it's something very special. It comes from his Sefer Zikaron. It's not printed in his Ksavim. And we'll see how it relates to the concluding section of our Parsha. I want now to come on, says Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, I want to come on now to a special inyan, and I want to be mevayer it al pi yesod b'safro, based on a yesod in the safro. Shekeshem sheyesh bris avos, kach yesh bris imahos. In the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with the avos, he likewise made a bris with the imahos. And how do I know this? It is a Toras Kohanim in Parshas Bechukosai, because it says, Zacharti Esperisi Avram, Esperisi Yitzchok, and Esperisi Yaakov. So there are Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and there are Gimel Essin. And we have a klal in Chazal that Es is always L'Rabos, to include. And they include the Imahos. Aye, there's only three Essin and there are four Imahos. Right? Upiresh Hagro, Shebris, Rochel, Veleoachas. That Rachel and Leah are considered one unit in regards to the bris. Now follow carefully, please. Now, because the Gaon had a Shaila, there's only Gimel Essen and the Talad Imot. Ulefize, basing ourselves on this safra, that there is a bris made with the Imahos as well as with the Ovos, I would like now to explain Psukim in Parshas Vayera and Parshas Chayeson. The pasuk in Vayera reads, Goresh esben ho'amo hazos, ki lo yirash imbini im Yitzchok. Now we translate these words into English, and it goes like this. Drive out the daughter of this Amo, because he is not going to inherit with my son with Yitzchok. Says Rav Yitzchok, what are you talking about? You can only let people who are going to inherit stay in the house. You're going to drive him out. Why? Ki lo yirash? How can it possibly be that the fact that he won't inherit should be the impetus to kick him out? The truth of the matter is there is something special in this pasuk, and the translation is not like we have suggested. And I say the following. Shahare matna sa'oret yonekes hi mishnei mekoros. The fact that Bnei Yisrael are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael derives from two separate elements. Number one, Yerusha. If I, as a father, own something, my son gets it automatically because he's my Yorish. So one reason why the descendants of Avraham Avinu are going to have Eretz Yisrael is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and if he has some property, his Yorishim get it when he dies. That's one reason why those who are descended from Avraham Avinu are going to get Eretz Yisrael. And the second is Bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant that the descendants of Avraham Avinu will always own Eretz Yisroel. Kelomar, Yesh Tamboris. There is a covenant on Yerusha Sa'oretz that come what may, the descendants of Avraham Avinu will always have the land. Now, V'haloliyinyin Yerusha Sagiyim HaMorishu Ovim. In regards to the fact that Eretz Yisroel is going to come to the descendants of Avraham Avinu as a Yerusha, there it is quite sufficient if the father owns the land, because the father is the Morish, because inheritance always goes from father to son. But if Klal Yisrael are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael because there was a bris made with the others, then you got a stalemate. Because a bris was made not only with the others, it was made with the Imah. And Sarah is going to say to Avraham Avinu, he may be your son, but he's not mine. And there is a bris Imahos as well as a bris others. And whereas mitzad the Yerusha, you may feel that he's going to get it, over mitzad the bris, not going to be. So therefore, v'nimtza sheyesh kan stira b'etzem hamahalich lezechir l'yeretz Yisroel. Therefore, it appears as if there is a confrontation, a conflict. Mitzad echad midin Yerusha, Yishmoel is entitled to inherit his chelik and eretz Yisroel. Mitzad habris, Sarah says he can't have it. Is Memela, that's what she means when she says, Goresh es ha'omo hazos, it is not to be interpreted as, drive him out. But atot zorich la'asos kan ma'ase shel havoras nacha. Goresh does not mean drive him out, it means disinherit him. Because if you don't disinherit him, then he's going to be in trouble. Because mitzad ha'yerusha, you may want to give him Eretz Yisrael, and mitzad ha'bris, Kilo Yirash im Beni im Yitzchak. But I won't allow it to happen because the bris about Eretz Yisrael was made not only with you, it was made with me, and I say he's not my son, and therefore my bris will not allow him to inherit Eretz Yisrael. So the Goresh is not a statement to the effect that I want you to drive him out, but rather it is a statement that it is to be disinherited. And that is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, when Avraham Avinu is told Goresh, right? Now, if Goresh meant, as we were used to interpret it, says Rav Huttner, if Goresh meant drive out, that's all it means, get rid of him. In other words, physically extricate him. Then, the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Kol asher tomar lechosora shema bekola. She told you to get rid of him, get rid of him. If that's all that was involved, the physical exclusion from the premises, then why did the pasuk need to go on after it says, Kol asher tomar lechosora shema bekola, ki beyitzchok yikarei lechosora. What's ki beyitzchok yikarei lechosora? Got to do with booting the fellow out. It can only mean, says Rav Huttner, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu is, when Sarah told you to disinherit him, listen to her. Because Saivasai, Ibe Yitzchak Yikarei Lechazara, your only heir, officially, even Mitzad Yerusha, is Yitzchak. So there we see further confirmation, says Rav Huttner, that the word Goresh is not to be interpreted as to get him out, but rather disinherit him. There is only one personality who stands to inherit, because any other personality there would be a steer between Yerusha and Bris, and the only personality in whom Yerusha and Bris are united is Yitzchak. Final paragraph. V'chan oleinu lehosif od nekuda nifla'a. And basing ourselves on this interpretation which I have presented for you, I would like to add something extraordinary, he says. Beferish ha'kosuv etzel b'nei keturah. When I draw your attention to the passage which speaks about what happens to the b'nei keturah, keturah whom Avraham Avinu marries, as is related at the end of the parsha. What does it say there? Vayishalachem, he sent away those children, Me'al Yitzchok Beno. Doesn't just say he sent them away. It says, Me'al Yitzchok Beno Kedma. It's Hanakuda Hanif Lorboze. What I see in this pasuk is that Avraham Avinu is fulfilling for a second time Masha Omra Lo Sara, that when Sara said to him, Goresh. That is what the words Me'al Yitzchok Beno, that is a remez to what Sara said, Ki Lo Yirash. Send them away, Me'al Yitzchok Beno. The only person that I want you to be left with is Yitzchok. Because Ki V'Yitzchok Yikorei L'Chazora, his Vayeshalachem is a further act of disinheriting, which Avraham Avinu performs even at the end of his days, in conformity with what Sara told him regarding Yishmael. Says Rav Yitzchok Hutner, and if you accept that this is again a repetition of an act of disinheriting which Avraham Avinu is performing vis-a-vis Yitzchok in conformity with the instructions of Sarah regarding Yishmael, because there is no other person in whom Brit and Yerusha are combined except Yitzchok, then we will be able to understand why it says in the Pasuk, Vayishalachem Eyal Yitzchok Beno Be'odenu Chai, whilst he was still alive. But when else is he going to send them away? Inspector Putter, the Achamisa, he's going to send them away. What's Biodenu Ichai? He sent these people away, Biodenu Chai. Meaning, says Rav Huntner, the following. Biodenu Chai means, if you accept that what he is doing is an act of disinheritance, he has to perform that act before they become inheritors. That's the vote. If you have to disinherit someone, the only time that you can disinherit is when they are not already heir. Biodenu Chai. So therefore, what we have here, he says, in regard to the Bnei Keturah, is not just sending them away. It is an act of disinheriting to confirm what Sarah knew to begin with. That in regards to Eretz Yisrael, it is not sufficient to be a Yoresh and to have a father who owns Eretz Yisrael. What is crucial is, A, that there be a father from whom you can be Yoresh, and number two, that you be an individual who is included in the Bris. And if you're not included in the Bris, the fact that your father has owned Eretz Yisrael, has title to the land, means absolutely nothing. So here we have a new insight into this particular event, which confirms a most beautiful interpretation that Goresh is not driving out, it is an act of disinheriting, because again I emphasize, to be Zoche to Eretz Yisrael, we have to be descended from a father who has title to the land, and we have to be part of the Bris, and the Bris is a Bris, not only Bris Ovos, but Bris Imohos, and therefore Yishmael has no place, and neither have the Bnei Keturah, only those who are descended from a combination of Abraham and Solomon. We leave it over here.